you, Tony.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Welcome to WHW Monday. Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson.
Jim Crockett for Starcade, 605 NWA, TV title, Cajun Omni, the Bunkhouse Stampede, Flair and Horseman, Garvin, Bogey, Magnum, Dusty, Express Tag Team, Turner, Bonnet, Mid-South, Joint World Championship Wrestling.
Talking about the great years of World Championship Wrestling, the NWA, and Jim Crockett Promotions.
Tony and First North, they win, look, Schiavone's back again, World title split off, center stage, Bischoff, Disney, Hogan, and Nitro, New World Order, and the Crow. Thunder Russo, Arquette Champ, Vinnie Mack, simulcast. Tony's back with Conrad, not your classy podcast. Watch along, try not to laugh, Lois rules, cat bass. This wasn't the initial plan, Tom's a good-looking man. Klondike Bill, make a chair, Tommy, you come over here.
What happened,
Win? WHW Monday. And now, let's go to the ring. And here's your co-host, hey, it's Conrad Thompson.
Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to What Happened When? A little bonus action right here at the end of the month, all up in that ass, it's Tony Schiavone. Tony, what's going on, man? How are you?
That's a hell of a term. All up in that ass, it's Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Hey, so, you know, we're going to do some, I don't know if you could call it deep diving or not, but we're going to dive into the shit pile here, I guess. Hey, thanks to Steph Chesney. First of all, I'd like to thank for Steph. Steph Chesney cannot show up on time when he promises to do something if his freaking life depended on it, okay? It's been twice now he was going to come to a WCW event. He even sent me a screenshot. Oh, I've got ringside tickets, mate. I got ringside tickets. And he didn't show. And then when we're supposed to record his end, he didn't show. So we're still going to get him. We'll have him on. Anyway, so much for Steph Chesney.
I'm excited to have him, but I'm mostly excited that we're watching what we're watching. It's the main event of Starrcade 1994.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst received Starrcade ever at this point. I could be wrong. I know Battle Bowl was in there too, but this show only got 8.4% thumbs up, 78.3% thumbs down, 13.3% in the middle. And, it really wasn't all that bad of a show in that you had 8,200 fans, like 7,000 paid, 90 grand at the house. But the biggest news coming out of it is that the Honky Tonk Man is done with WCW. And you know, Eric Bischoff was fired up about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one person, as we know from talking with Eric on our shows. And I know talking with Eric on 83 weeks, that is one person that Eric does not have time for. I mean, there may be more, but to me, that's like on top of his list. Am I right?
He said if he could wake up every day and fire the Honky Tonk Man, he would have a great day the rest of his life.
Wow.
So he had a lot of fun, but we fans did not. We had to see Vader wrestle Jim Duggan. Mm. We had to see Alex Wright wrestle Jean-Paul Levesque.
Yikes.
We had to see Johnny B. Badd beat Arn Anderson. We had the Nasty Boys in Harlem Heat really probably steal the show, but Meltzer had this great line: easily the best match of the night, but to say they stole the show would mean they were guilty of petty theft. Next up, this is a real match. Mr. T and Kevin Sullivan. No surprise that got a dud. Remember when Earthquake was one of the biggest heels in the WWF? Well, Hulk did, because he booked him here against Sting. And in the main event, that's right, the main event, I know what you're thinking. Well, where's Ric Flair? Ric Flair's in here somewhere, right? Because it's Starrcade. Nope. Was Harley doing anything by 94? Nope. Well, no, what about Terry Funk? He's going to pop up for ECW. He's old school NWA. We could add him. Nope. Well, then who is it? Well, I hadn't mentioned Hogan. Oh yeah, this is the one. Well, Hogan had some good WrestleMania and Starrcade opponents. I mean, who was he taking on? Was it, I don't know. Was it Macho Man? Nope. Was it Roddy Piper? Nope. Was it the Giant? Nope. Was Lex Luger? Nope. Who did Hulk Hogan wrestle in the main event of Starrcade in Nashville? Mm. Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake, and we're here to watch it. It's a 3/4-star affair. I am fired up about this. Get your cock out. Pull up season 12, episode 1, Starrcade 94. That's season 12, episode 1, Starrcade 94. And we want you to go to 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 8 seconds. This is going to be fun, Tony.
It's going to be fun for many reasons. A lot to talk about, a lot to unpack here as always, but you know, well, let's get to it and then we'll talk about it. Okay.
I'm ready for it. Here we go. Get that ding dong. I mean, get that peacock. I'll get it right. 2 hours, 9 minutes, 8 seconds, 2 hours, 9 minutes, 8 seconds. Tony, you got a countdown for us?
I got a countdown. By the way, if you hit pause at 2:09:08, you will see me and Heenan with his feet up on the desk. So here we go. And we'll track it in 3, 2, 1, play.
Okay, congratulations to the Mount. Would you get your feet down, please?
I feel nauseous.
Why?
Jimmy Hart, that's syrupy.
Nevertheless, we are just about set to go with Hulk Hogan and Butcher. Oh. In a span of a couple of months, Butcher went from being the closest friend Hulk Hogan had in the entire world for his entire life to one of the most dangerous men in this sport. He went from a trusted confidant to a backstabbing butcher, aligning himself with dangerous men like Kevin Sullivan and like a man we just saw in the ring in Avalanche. Let's take you back now through what has happened with Butcher and Hulk Hogan leading up to the main event at tonight's Starrcade. Hulk and the man known as Butcher had been lifelong friends. They did everything together. So when Hogan arrived at WCW, we didn't see anything unusual when the brother was at his side.
Turn up the dial on the attitude. And just like this man here, those little Hulkamaniacs will stick with me all the way till the end, right, Brutus?
That's right, just like you were by my side, Hulkster. I see that look in your eye. I see the intensity in your eye like I have never seen before. When this thing happened to your brother, it almost ripped my heart out. And it almost ripped the hearts out of every Hulkamaniac all over the world.
Then came the mysterious attack by a masked man wielding a pipe. Hulk was rushed to the hospital, and the butcher was there.
Everybody's tried to talk to him. We've tried to talk sense to him. We've tried to talk logic to him, but he's not having any part of it.
As a matter of fact, Hulk Hogan walked back from the hospital, and yes, once again, Butcher was at his side. At the end of the match, look who shows up again. It's the Masked Man. We got the Masked Man in.
That is so Arn Anderson.
You can't even remotely hide it that it's Arn Anderson.
Following the Clash of the Champions, Mean Gene Okerlund interviewed
look how shrunken Hogan is.
Hogan on the beach. And please note who was at the Hulkster's side.
No, I got one more thing to say, Brutai.
It ain't even worth it.
No, I got one more thing to say. You make sure all your ducks are in a row, because I know they are now. But you find Ric Flair for me. Why don't you throw this microphone up in front of his face when he's not ready like you do to me all the time?
Come on, Hulk. Give me a break.
Then during a main event match, the Masked Man tried to injure Hulk Hogan, and the Butcher helps out. Well, we didn't know it at that time, but there apparently were two Masked Men. Watch as Hulk and Dave Sullivan team up to meet Ric Flair and the Masked Man. The Butcher disappears right before the second Masked Man shows up.
Now's his chance!
Oh, yeah, let's see it! Let's do it!
The crowd wants to see it! Fans all over the world want to see it! Who is he? Oh, there's another one!
Then on to Detroit and Halloween Havoc and the shock of a lifetime for Hulk Hogan when he found out the Masked Man was his lifelong friend.
Here it is! Yes, my brother! Oh, my! It's Brother Brutai! Oh, my God! He has butchered a friendship! That man has butchered a friendship!
That's not all he's butchered! He's a backstabber!
Butcher, the Avalanche, and Kevin Sullivan unite as the three faces of fear. And World Championship Wrestling is headed for Jacksonville in a gigantic six-man tag at the Clash of the Champions. When the match is finally over, Butcher slaps the sleeper on Hulk Hogan and refuses to let go until security arrives.
Here's some flowers.
He's got the sleeper on the Hulkster. Policeman coming in along with Doug Dillinger.
We got Jacksonville's finest at the ringside.
And the sleeper's still on. For God's sake, get it off of him.
You think a little Tony Khan was running around the arena then?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
not
they,
in Jack-
they didn't live in Jacksonville. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that'd have been in Chicago. Although his dad could have flown him there, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
So listen, here's our main event. The table set, arguably the worst main event in the history of Starrcade.
And I get it.
And we had a couple of battle bowls, but that doesn't change the fact that no matter what we say here, and no matter what you think, the biggest wrestling star in the world in 1994 was still Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And if you disagree, kiss our ass. You're not paying attention. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that you have to be excited about his Starrcade main event. You understand what a Hulk Hogan match is. And I do believe that, and I'm not saying this to be critical, but I think even you would agree, timing is everything. And Hulk Hogan being betrayed by his best friend, if the WWF did this with Tugboat or Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake, it could have worked. But yeah, by this point, it's no longer the early 90s, it's the mid 90s, and it sounds like that's so close. But think about the context of Glacier. If we got Glacier in 94, it would have been huge. We got it in 96 and it was a flop. Mm-hmm. If this turn would have happened in 90 or 91, this could have been a Survivor Series main event, a Royal Rumble main event, a SummerSlam main event. But damnation, by 94, the idea that the Butcher is in the main event, it's almost as over the top silly as saying, you know what? Let's put Tony Schiavone on national TV in 2019. It don't make no sense, y'all. Now the shit happened, but we can't figure out why or who made this decision or how to hold them accountable. But it happened, right, Tony?
Yeah, fucker. It happened. And you know what? I go back and I look at the show. Or I look at that package we just did.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, for just on the surface, it's a pretty good storyline.
It is a good storyline, yeah. Which is why I think it could have worked. I just think the timing was off.
Right.
Like to me, you know what would have been fun to see here in 94?
Those two girls?
Starrcade. Well, that would have been fine, I guess. Cause you know, they wore the hip hugger underwear. You know, they were high cut, buddy.
Yeah, baby. Go ahead.
What if we would have had Hulk Hogan versus Terry Funk at Starrcade?
Well, I think it would have been better received by Meltzer and all his gang.
But I'm just saying you've sort of got the old NWA stalwart, you know, at this point, just to give you a reminder, Ric Flair's fresh off of retirement. They beat him at Halloween Havoc 94. He's retired now. He lost a retirement match. So he's got to be gone. I get that. But it would have been fun to me if Funk showed up and started arguing about tradition and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he hadn't been the NWA champ in this many years. And, you know, I was champ when you were still playing bass and tamp, whatever.
Yeah.
It just feels like, you know, we know he's in phenomenal shape. He's going to show up in incredible shape for ECW. And Terry Funk had been here, you know, a few years prior, but that predated Hogan. I don't know. It could have been something. I understand that in this era that the narrative was in real life, Hulk Hogan was not, he needed to be, he wanted to trust his opponents.
I get that.
He was nervous about who could give him a good match, who could take care of him. He didn't want to damage his brand because make no mistake, WCW is number two by a fucking country mile.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time Hogan was in the WWF, WCW was way, 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 way number two. So on some level, and some people would take issue with this, but I believe it to be true. Hulk Hogan felt like, all right, I'm going to play for the minor leagues. I don't want one of these guys to mess up my deal here. And yeah. As a result, they create this bullshit Dungeon of Doom, they being the booker, Kevin Sullivan, and he comes up with just this gaggle of stupid villains that he can feed to Hulk Hogan in the absence of Ric Flair. Cause he knows he can trust Rick. And I guess this is his way of, hey brother, I can get a good match out of this. No, you can't. Nobody's been able to get a good match out of him since 1990.
Yeah. There's also him looking out for his friend too, right?
Well, yeah, there is that. I'm not arguing that, but right. I think everybody does that.
Yeah. I think as in wrestling, even backstage now, there are friends and there are close friends backstage in wrestling that they'd like to see their friends get elevated.
And by the way, what's wrong with that? I want all my friends to do well. I mean,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I created a fake bidding war for your, who the fuck thought Tony Schiavone was going to be in a bidding war? I'm just saying I'm all for that.
Yeah. Good for you. Good.
But no, seriously, I know once upon a time, and I know, he's a friend of the show. Mr. Jericho used to take great issue. You know, there were interviews out there about him being critical of, you know, this guy staying around too long, or this guy monopolizing the top, or this guy getting his friends hired. But Jericho's figured in and his pals have jobs, and that's what you do, man. And I think you just evolve into that. I don't think everybody has the same view of wrestling at one point in their career, and they think it should almost be ran maybe a little bit more like Little League. And yeah. You know, the best players should play that sort of thing. And I'm not mocking that, but it just feels like to me, man, I'm going to take care of my friends as much as I can.
By the way, this event was in downtown Nashville at the legendary Nashville Municipal Auditorium, which kind of became a home for Starrcade for us. We did a lot of Starrcades there.
And you're going to be there in 2 weeks.
That's right. Going to be there with AW, same venue in 2 weeks. And it's going to be cold as hell because that building is not heated backstage.
I'll be in attendance, and I'm bringing two old friends of yours.
Oh boy.
One is Neil Pruitt.
Okay, good.
I can't tell you who the other one is.
All right.
I'll tell you off the air, but you will be very pleased.
That sounds great. I look forward to seeing you. Do you have tickets? Do you want tickets? Are you all taken care of? What's the deal here?
I know a guy.
I'm sure you do. A guy who is much further up in the food chain than I am.
Well, it's also important to remember that I'm friends with the security guards.
Yeah.
So they'll just say, hey, Conrad, come on in.
By the way, we got such great security guards in AEW and Shane. And I'll give you two names that I know. I don't know the names of anybody
else. You know Shane and Sam, baby.
Sam's the man.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I have a lot of time for Sam. Big old school TBS 605 fan is Sam. And
grew up on it.
Yeah, just a good man to have around. So doing a lot of shit on the outside here.
Yeah, this is not going to be your typical Starrcade main event.
No, it's not.
But no, listen, I like the idea. I do regret a great deal that I didn't get to see the Starrcades from 94, 95, or 96. They were in Nashville. Unfortunately, I was not watching wrestling in 94. Mm-hmm. And I was not watching wrestling in 95. I got back in 96, but the idea that I was going to find somebody to go with and scoot up at 16 years old or 15 years old, wasn't happening for me in 96.
Yeah.
But what a cool historic arena that's seen so much great entertainment, a relatively easy drive from you guys home over in Atlanta. I mean, Nashville checks a lot of boxes, and still to this day, it is the number one tourist attraction or destination rather for bridal showers. I don't know if you knew that.
For bridal showers. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Just go hang out downtown in Nashville on a Thursday night, Friday night, or Saturday night. And buddy, you're going to see about six groups of them minimum.
Mm-hmm.
like pedaling bikes together and have penis shaped hats or whatever they do, you know.
Good looking single man could do quite well.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't even have to be single. I know Eric was looking forward to AEW coming to town, even though he lives 4,000 miles away. He thought it would be a nice excuse to come hang with me. So,
okay. Well, the Butcher, huh? Nothing much going on this match, but
is it true that he was Hogan's weed carrier?
That's whatever. Everybody backstage called him his bag man. But I mean, don't you carry your own weed?
Not if you're a celebrity, you see. The reason a guy has a weed carrier, for instance, hypothetically, Tony Khan would have a weed carrier. It wouldn't be him.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying Tony Khan does left-handed cigarettes. I'm just saying if Tony Khan were to get caught with wacky tobacco,
right,
he might be in trouble. There might be news reports. People might write about that.
It's not the way it used to be. You know that.
No, I know that, but I'm saying some states, buddy, you get caught with it here in Alabama.
Yeah.
You're going to jail. Your picture's going to be in those magazines. You're going to be on TV. It's going to be a whole thing.
You'll have to call Brad.
Well, I'm not calling Brad.
Okay.
Not for that. I call Brad. Never mind.
But no, what you're saying here is that I get it, that a star like Hogan could not afford to be arrested.
Because if Hogan gets arrested, why does Beefcake have a job, Hogan? Well, if Hogan loses his job and influence, so does Beefcake.
So it sounds logical, right?
So here's what I'm saying. Hypothetically, if I was if I smoked marijuana and a cop pulls me and Silva over, Silva instinctively just takes the shit and puts it in his pocket. Now, I do not smoke marijuana, never have. My parents smoked cigarettes my whole life, and I'm so turned off by smoke, I would never be caught dead with the stuff.
Yeah, well, why would you? When there's edibles out there, why would you blow that shit into your lungs?
And again, though, even if there were edibles, and I'm not saying to do that either, but I'm saying if I get pulled over and I got edibles on me, Silva's taking that charge, baby.
Wow, so Silva's your bag man.
Silva's my butcher. Silva's my brother, Brudai. He knows deal, because if I get arrested, right, there's articles.
Yeah.
There's pictures. People have comments. We have to address it. If Dave Silva gets arrested, it's like if a tree falls in the woods or Tony Schiavone does commentary on Dynamite. I guess legally he does, but what does he really say? What does he do? Right, JR. I mean, that's it.
I'm glad you got that fucking in a fucking again. I just wonder who, by the way, Steph Chesney, who does our countdown on our regular podcast.
Tremendous.
Rock and roll Steph. I just wonder who his bag man is. Because you know.
Oh, he smokes wacky tobacco.
So.
If you can sing like that and play guitar like that, you know a thing or two about left-handed cigarettes.
Yeah, you do. The fans here, by the way,
are subdued as hell. They look like they've been given a fucking blow dart tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Here's what Meltzer had to say. Hogan pinned Butcher in 1207 after a leg drop to retain the WWF or WCW title. This wasn't as bad as I'd expected with Butcher in there. Butcher chopped and choked Hogan and he went to use a chair. Jimmy Hart got the chair from him and Hogan used it on him twice. Butcher regained the advantage by using a long nerve hold. At this point, there was a fight in the stands and you could see nobody was watching the ring. And unfortunately, at the max climax with Butcher holding the sleeper, Hogan was about to do a comeback and smartly realized the crowd wasn't watching and stopped. Hogan then played possum, acting like he was out. Butcher dropped the hold and celebrated as if he won. Hogan made the Superman comeback. Sullivan and Avalanche did a run in, but Hogan punched them both, hit the leg drop in 1-2-3. After the match, Randy Savage runs in and shakes hands with the Faces of Fear, acting like they're going to ambush Hogan. But instead he turns on the heels and helps Hogan, and they shook hands and did the posing routine together in the ring, 3/4 of a star. And then there's a little post-match interview. Meltzer would say, overall, it was an easily forgettable nearly 3 hours. After the show, someone brought up the subject of the first Starrcade in 83 and how well they remembered it. The funny thing was 30 minutes after this show was over, I remembered more about Starrcade 83 than this show. I wouldn't call it the worst pay-per-view show ever, but certainly in the bottom 5 or 10%.
You know when Hogan's in the ring, you're not going to get a good rating from Dave Meltzer. That is a given. You know that's kind of your baseline.
Big facts.
It's going to be thumbs down, south of 2 stars.
Yeah.
Is this your fight in the ring? I bet it is.
Yeah, everybody's watching the fight right now.
Yeah. Our fight in the stands, yeah. So, and I get that, but he's right in saying, as I go by, he's right in saying two things. Number one, it will not go down in Starrcade lore because I didn't remember when it was. I remember they had a match, but you don't remember it like you do Flair and Harley Race.
Right.
Nor do you remember it like Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. Look, Hogan just looked and he sees that there's a fight going on. You could tell him because he's pointed that way. So, but I agree that the match is not as bad as when Steph Chesney wanted us to watch this, not as bad as I thought. And there's another factor here. For some reason, as great a guitarist and musician Steph Chesney is, he likes Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
No, listen, I did too when I was a kid, man. Brother Brutus was the man.
But he still does. He's a grown man now. I don't get it. So,
well, he likes him because he liked him as a kid. I understand the love of nostalgia. I do. I just think as a pay-per-view main event, by this point, no one believes in the Butcher as a credible opponent.
Yeah. I believe in the love and nostalgia too. That is why I'm sitting here. And that is why you see me on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Because Tony Schiavone knows that Tony Khan loves nostalgia and he's just bilking it as much as he can.
No, he's working hard.
That's what I mean. It came out wrong.
Yeah. It always does.
I don't feel well. Look at,
okay. He's pretending that he's going to be down. Oh, and Nick Patrick says you haven't counted it. We haven't pinned him. Oh, God.
Triple H didn't have him.
The big kick out. It's time to hook up in Nashville.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Still some reaction to him hulking up. Not much, but some, right?
Yeah, it's probably about like when you get an erection 40 years into your marriage. Like there's some reaction to it, but mostly from your side. You know, you're real excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And there you are wagging it at her, and there she is trying to block it.
But what you gonna do when the erection comes toward you? Boy, look at Avalanche. He's hustling to the ring. So Hogan wins via the leg drop, right? Did we see it? Did we miss? No, here it comes. All right.
2, 3.
Damn.
No. Will somebody stop Hulk Hogan?
Oh my God.
Kevin laying it in.
Did you see Kevin Sullivan just run over and just stand there and wait for the punch?
Yes, I know.
This is now so bad.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Take a look at the Macho Man. No one dressed like him, man. No one.
And this is one of the big, let's listen.
Now he was holding all to himself. History is going to be made. Let's see what happens. You understand what I'm saying? You and me, brother. Get the evidence behind the stick. Okay, come on. Do the thing right here. We get a goal here right there. Yes. Savage hates him. Yes. No. He hates that man.
This must be the fear of the future. It's 4-on-1.
Savage, come on. All right. This 1995 is going to be alive here at WCW.
He's shaking the hands in the face of the fear.
Well, you know he's not going to shake Hogan's hand.
So nobody really knew at this point. As a reminder, of course, the Mega Powers exploded in 1989 and set all kinds of records. But then Hogan took a little bit of a break, popped back up, did his one last world title run, and he's out of there. But here we are. That was in 93. Here we are in December of 94, and now Savage has jumped ship too. So this is the first time we've seen Hogan and Savage together in a WCW ring. And man, if you could have built Hogan Savage one more time at Starrcade here, but they didn't have enough time. And I get that. But what a big main event that would have been.
Yeah.
Instead, we got the Butcher, and hey, for what it was, not the worst thing we ever saw.
It's not. And I'm wondering here, is Savage, was this Savage's first time in a WCW ring, or had he been on TV before?
He had done this. I think he had done the 605 TBS show, the WCW Saturday Night Show.
All right.
But I don't think he had been, I know he debuted here is what I'm saying.
All right.
December of 94. And by the way, notice the timing. We're at 233, 30, 31, 32. The show's not over till 245. So we've got 12 minutes here to fill, which is going to include a backstage promo. But think about how much gaga and posing and nonsense there is. If we've seen our last match and we've still got, we did that post-match angle and we've still got 12 minutes.
Yeah. You know, the fans really kind of bought into Savage coming in here and them being together.
Yeah.
They, I'm talking about the fans at ringside and the fans that you could see in the arena, they were pretty much into it. So.
Well, they're the biggest, you know, 1A and 1B, biggest stars in wrestling.
Yeah, they are. And now they're in a WCW ring together. And I love Jimmy Hart on your right. Jimmy just so active, sells it so well, regardless. See how he's jumping around on the right of your screen? And did a little research on on Jimmy Hart for some reason about his time with the Gentrys.
And
you know, keep on dancing. I knew he was part of the Gentrys, but I here's what I didn't realize, and I'm sure most people did, and I didn't because I didn't look it up until this year. He was the man who founded the Gentrys. He was their lead singer. He was the man behind the Gentrys, and they of course, Keep on Dancing was their biggest hit, right? But they did have plenty of success, and they started out singing in high school dances and things like that, and Jimmy Hart was the man behind it. So I just thought he was a member. I didn't know he was the man.
Dude, he is a legend.
He is in the music business and obviously in the wrestling business. I wonder how he's doing. Have you
heard? He's great. He's great. I talked to him 2 weeks ago.
You did?
Yep.
Tremendous.
We had a probably a 35 minute conversation. He is the same old, just as sharp. I mean, just great.
Yeah. Just a great mind for promotions, a great mind for business.
What are they talking about? I mean, how are you feeling this much time? I got to listen to what the fuck you're saying.
All right,
saying.
Here.
The Hulkster holding on to the world heavyweight title. WCW is number one. We are the heart and soul of pro wrestling. Here it is again, Brain.
You know, Savage, I thought right there. He became one of the four faces of fear now. He shook the hand of the Avalanche. He shook the hand of the Butcher. He looked into the eyes of that meanest man in the world, Kevin Sullivan. And he wants Hogan so bad. That's how I felt inside. That's what I thought. Hogan, it's just you and Jimmy Hart, a 120-pound whip in a cheap suit, and you with a steel chair. Open up your eyes. Look into the eyes. But then Savage gave a signal. It wasn't to steal second or take the pitch. He knew what he was doing. He set everybody up. Nailed Kevin Sullivan. You hit Butcher with a chair. He hit Avalanche. Savage, you're a creep. You're scum, as far as I'm concerned. Tony, you talk. I've had it here.
And they shake hands. Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage making their way back towards the locker room area. We are dispatched Mean Gene Okerlund to the Hulkster's dressing room area, and we will get an interview here in just a few moments as Starrcade continues.
Tony, I got to ask you something. I mean, explain to me something. Maybe I'm stupid.
Yeah, okay. Maybe you are.
Well, I'm asking you something. What is it? Is it that everybody gets behind this man, Hulk Hogan? What does he have? What does he have?
What does he have?
I love this man.
Oh, my God, Jim Barnett.
All right, Tony, what a way to end 1994 in front of this capacity crowd and, of course, millions all over the world watching on pay-per-view. Hulk Hogan, finally, you have done it. And if this is any indication of what 1995 is going to be like, I can hardly wait. What a better year for Hulkamania.
Well, you know something, brother. I got one thing to say, and that's, ooh, yeah, brother.
Ooh, yeah. Of course, referring to the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Where's Dig It? Brother, he walked that fine razor's edge. He could, you know, it was all strategy on the Macho Man's part. He kept me razor sharp. He kept me fine-tuned, brother. He kept me on the edge, man. But I was hoping at the 11th hour, the Butcher would turn his life around, brother. I talked to Jimmy up until the last minute, Jimmy Hart. I said, maybe he'll cave in. Maybe we'll do this thing straight up. Maybe he'll realize just getting it on one-on-one would be the family way to go. But all the family business is down the toilet, brother. We realize he's rotten to the core. And like I said, brother, the Macho Man kept me razor sharp because I didn't know if he was friend or foe. Ooh, yeah.
Macho Man.
Tell him, Mike. Decided to trip the light fantastic out there. Think I broke a promise to Kevin Sullivan and the Butcher and the Avalanche. But you know, like, I'm sorry, Dig It. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Hulkster, I still can't help but believe. Please, gentlemen, I know that there's a good reason to celebrate.
Hey, help me.
But I can't believe right now that you seem to be a little down in the mouth.
Well, you know, brother, nothing wrong with a victory. Nothing wrong with the greatest wrestlers in the world challenging me every night in the WCW. But when I stared in the brother's eyes, when I realized he wasn't going to cave in, I had to do what I had to do, brother. I felt like taking him down, beating him right in the center of the ring. I beat a little piece of myself, brother. And I don't know how to say it other than when somebody's that close to you for so many years, man, it's not a shallow victory, but I tell you, man, I wish I could have turned the thing around, brother.
Well, I'll tell you, it just wasn't to be, and I still can't believe that this guy sold out a lifelong friend. What the hell is that?
Hogan!
What is that? Where is that coming from? Don't let anybody
Hogan!
In here. Hey! Oh, for crying out loud.
Peter,
get out of here.
Get out of here, hey, brother. Out of this life. You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. It's time to listen to Vader. Mr. Bakwinkle, Hogan, the whole world is watching, and the whole world is listening. Look into my eyes and listen to what I have to say to you. You're living with a demon, brother. And a demon is called fear. That's right. For the first time in your life, you're afraid. For the first time in your career, you're afraid. You're afraid to be standing here next to the man right now, brother. I can see it. I can see it in your eyes. I can feel it in your soul. I can hear the Hulkamaniacs all over the world. They're saying, Hulkster, Vader is the number one contender. He is the heavyweight, U.S. heavyweight champion. Are you afraid to wrestle Vader? Have you lost the will to be the best? Have you lost your desire? Have you lost your gut? Where's your soul? Are you going to stand up and be a man that you're supposed to be? Who is running this company, Mr. Bakwinkle? Hogan, are you? I want to know, and I want an answer. Because, brother, you're looking at the man. I have no fear. I feel no pain. I am the number one contender. I am the U.S. champion. What else is there left for me to do? Brother, you know how you kill a snake? You cut its head off, and it dies. And guess what, brother? Hulkamania dies with it. So I'm calling you out right now, punk. I'm calling you out. You know something, Vader? You either. Maybe you're right, brother. Maybe it's Vader time right now.
Is it just me or did Hogan let him go way too long? Like he was begging, please cut me off, Hulk. I'm just saying the same thing over and over. Please help me out, Hulk.
Right.
And yeah. Hulk didn't at all.
No, he let him go. I got to thinking that this, look at this now. This would have been, to me, this would have been better served to be in the ring.
This should have been a main event. This should have been the match.
Well, yeah. I think it's a.
It became Super Brawl, is what you did.
Yeah. I think everybody's looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just think that you know, everybody comes in the ring after the Macho Man. And, of course, I'm playing Booker here. After the Macho Man helps Hogan, they pose. Everybody comes to the ring, congratulate him, whatever. And
oh, then, listen to old Bach one over here.
What's his problem,
yeah.
Man? There's no question.
You're on the spot, Bach Winkle.
Vader has, he won the three-way match.
The triangle match.
He won the U.S. Heavyweight Championship.
Yes.
His demands are legitimate. As many times as I have butted heads with this guy,
Bach Winkle,
you know that for a fact.
I don't think there's any room in any sport for somebody that acts like that.
But what he did here was out of line. But I mean,
Nick, that's enough.
It has to be discussed.
Nick Bach Winkle is double talking me. More of that bureaucratic BS, and I don't know if I can take it. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Dude, how great was it when he just shoot him away? Okay, that's enough.
Bach Winkle is double talking me. Okay.
So good.
Talk about what's ahead for 1995 for WCW and Hulk Hogan. It's obviously.
What'd you go do after the show? Did you go down on Broadway, try to boot scoot and boogie? Did you have some beers, do some line dancing?
I drove home.
Yeah. I mean, but first you picked up. You picked up a prostitute and a little coke, though, right?
Home.
It's Starcade tradition.
Okay, producer. Director Craig Sucks Leathers, Rick Fancher, great guy, Dan Byers, Neil Pruitt's name, Christine Johnson. Jesus, we gave.
So you did or did not do illegal drugs that night?
I did not. I drove straight home. You lying motherfucker.
Did you try to,
no,
I mean, you didn't call Rebel, see what she was up to.
No, I didn't even know Rebel at that time.
Why not?
I wish I had.
Well, she would have been 11. You fucking creep. What's wrong with you?
Well,
damn it, Tony, get it together. All right, boys and girls, that's going to do it.
Wouldn't have been 11.
I'm just busting balls. Hey, well, man, this was a lot of fun and, I'm glad we got to watch it. And it wasn't as bad as we kind of expected. So,
no, it wasn't. Again, it's what we had back then, right?
Sure.
You got Hulk Hogan and you're thinking, what do we do for Hulk Hogan that he will agree to?
Right.
So there, that's what we had right in 1994, same year that they had no World Series because of a baseball strike. Just saying.
And I'm just saying that right now, Tony, it looks like it's about that time.
Yes, it's about that time, and let me get into my car and drive home without getting illegal drugs, without stopping to see any women, including Rebel, because it's 1994. Thank you very much, Steph Chesney, for the suggestion, and we'll see you next time with another bonus episode, two each month, only on
Patron!